Bold. Brave. With Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode number, drumroll, 550 of the Bold and Brave Her podcast. Now, for all of you who've been following along for all the 549 episodes, you know that every 50th episode, so now we're up to 550, I do a little solo thing. Why do I do that? Because, well, I celebrate. I mean, I'm celebrating what? I'm so blessed to be able to do this incredible podcast, the Bold and the Brave, her podcast with all of you. And so today we're going to have a little interesting celebration. All right. Now, the first thing is everyone needs to practice gratitude. So I'm going to start out with my gratitudes. Nothing would be possible for the Her podcast if it weren't for the incredible crew at Podcast Health. And that means Tim Sr., Tim Jr., Bill Klaproth, AJ, oh my gosh, AJ, who runs every one of these episodes with me, along with, every now and then, Brad and Luke, and then our intrepid producer, and that's Kat Canale, and she is amazing. Keeps us on track so we don't mess this thing up big time. You can't do it without an entire team. And I want to make certain that everyone out there in the podcast health world knows how much I appreciate you. Mwah! There's your big smackaroo. All right. Then I appreciate all of you. Yeah. Every one of you in the audience, thank you for being there. I have a wonderful time with you. Feeling a little lonely, just, you know, dial me up. I'm here for you. And you know something? I just love being with you. It makes me feel so great. And, you know, as I've said so many times, the Latin derivation of the word doctor is docere, which means teacher. I can't help myself. I just teach a lot. I love to be able to do that. So that being said, how am I going to celebrate today? Wow, 550 episodes with some of the coolest guests, a lot of repeat offenders because they're so good. And I thought, well, I'm writing my next new book, teaser alert. And I was thinking as I was writing it, that we need to learn a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T for our body. And I also am sharing more these days. You know, when I was in training, I was taught never to talk about myself. It was always about the patient. Nowadays, it's like, hey, I took a walk this morning. How about you? So, you know, we can't inspire unless we perspire and share that with somebody. So that's what this is really all about. So I'm going to teach you a little something about various parts of your body and throw myself in there. Like, how do I do this? What's going on after all? Okay. All right. So what I'm going to offer you today is from the heart to the liver, to the spleen and beyond, your own organ recital. That's right. Today we're going to do an organ recital. I just love this. It's also in the book too. Shh, don't tell anybody. All right. So, you know, when we decide to do little self-destructive things, what are we actually doing to our body and what's going on? You have to hold your body in awe. Just like, oh my God, I had no idea the heart did that. You'll hear in a moment. At the same time, if you're taking good care of yourself, well, then you know that your little organs are all happy and that organ recital is looking really good. Okay? So let's dive right back in. All right. How many organs do you have in your body? Here's the answer. For a long time, it was said there were 78 organs. I like you too much to recite them. I'm not going to do that. However, of late, they've added a couple more that you'll hear about. So the organs of the body, there are actually 80, believe it or not. And this just keeps expanding as they learn more and more and more about the body. So this is kind of cool stuff. So we've got 80 organs working across 11 systems to regulate everything from, whoa, metabolism. Yeah, that little hot metabolism of yours, circulation, waste removal. Now, here's a little quiz. What are the vital organs without which you can't live? Well, it's the brain, the heart, the lungs, the liver, and the kidneys. They're absolutely essential for immediate survival. And meanwhile, what's really wild is the other organs are not needed for immediate survival. Now, check this out. The largest organ system in the body is skin. Oh, yeah, skin. You're going to hear a lot more about that in a second. So skin, stomach, intestines, bladder, and reproductive organs are not necessary for survival. The brain, the heart, the lungs, the liver, and the kidneys are. Y'all take care of them. All of them. Very important. Okay, now, where did we come up with two more organ systems? There's this really amazing amount of tissue called the mesentery that connects the intestines to the abdominal wall. And this was recognized as an organ system in 2016. So that brought it to 79 from 78. And then another one, the interstitium, a fluid-filled network, is sometimes called the 80th organ. It's kind of all over the body. So that's kind of wild stuff. So what do all these things do and what's wild and crazy? Let's go through the vital organs. And again, I'm going to do some sharing here, a little bit of sharing. So let's start with the heart. Check this out. It beats how many times a day? Now remember, you got to take care of your heart for crying out loud. You know, put down that ultra-processed food. You know what I'm talking about. And get up out of your little chair and move, M-O-V-E, another four-letter word. So the heart beats over 100,000 times a day. It's a lot of work, all right? Now, here's what's interesting. If you're overweight or obese, the heart has to work even harder, because what it has to do is pump out to more fat tissue. It's almost like you have more subdivisions and you need more roads, you know, in a community. And so the heart has to work extra hard. That's why people who are quite obese oftentimes end up having heart failure, because the heart can only do so much. So that's why I want you to honor your heart. Okay, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, honor that. It pumps blood through what? 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Now, that's for a normal human being who is of normal weight. If you're overweight, it's even more. And if you're obese, it's way more than that. So be kind. Look down your little heart and go, hey, I'm here for you. I'm working it. It's a powerhouse. And it produces enough pressure to literally, and, you know, I did critical care, so I can speak to this, you know, in the trauma room. It can squirt blood 30 feet. Whoa. All right. That's some power. And it's the size of a large fist, and it weighs about 9 to 12 ounces. What do I do for my heart? Oh, heck. I'm doing my little extra high-intensity interval training. My heart loves that. It says, bring it on. We were meant for challenge. We were meant to be able to continuously look for more positive stress. The body loves it because the body wants that. and it'll continuously adapt and adjust to that. So when I do high intensity interval training, and by the way, one of the methods I use is the 4x4 Norwegian method. So that's 4 minutes, you know, just killing it. 3 minutes of bringing it down to a more of a moderate pace. 4 minutes of killing it. 3 minutes, you get the point. I do this 4 times. And of course, I had a warm up to start with and a cool down. The whole thing takes about 40 minutes. Just do it once a week. If you want to do it twice, you know, that's fine. No need to do it even more than that. That's how powerful it is. And then the body, the heart in particular, will adopt to this and will love every single moment of this. This is called VO2 max training. And what that means is what you're doing is you're taking yourself aerobically to the absolute max and training your heart to be able to handle that. One day you may be needing that. What if you had to run for your life? Just saying, right? Especially nowadays. So what if you had to run for your life? Now you could do it because you've got a heart that can sustain it. I just can't tell you. VO2 max training like this is highly associated with longevity. So if you're able to do VO2 max training, which is high intensity interval training on a routine basis, again, just once a week, 2 times if you feel like it, but no more is necessary, then you're going to be able to optimize your ability to get that high quality life, which is increased health span. So that's what I do for my little heart. I also don't load it up with garbage fats, right? And I read labels and kind of, you know, I eat so simply, it's kind of ridiculous. So once you kind of get in the know of it, you don't have to overcomplicate anything. So that's what I'm asking for your beautiful, wonderful, pumping heart. I got to tell you a story. One day I was up at Red Mountain Spa Resort, which is in St. George, Utah. And what was interesting was I was sort of scouting it for a big retreat I was going to have with my wonderful peak performers. You know, we usually take a week and have an incredible experience hiking and biking and doing all kinds of things in beautiful natural settings. And the first time I was there, I said, you know, I want to go out and, you know, do some hiking. I want to be able to see what some of these, the beautiful area out there is all about. It's red rock, magnificent. So my guide showed up first thing in the morning, and it was a guy in his 60s. A little evil part of me said, oh man, I could leave him in my dust. No. Actually, he almost killed me. And I was amazed. And as we finally took a rest on a piece of rock, I looked at him and I said, tell me your story. And how in heaven's name did you get so fit? Because he was quite fit. He looked at me, he said, I was a major corporate vice president for a huge group. And for many years, I sat on my ass. And my belly got big and I wasn't exercising. And as soon as I retired, I said to myself, I want to do something I've always dreamed of, which is to literally do what he's doing, which is to be a guide into natural settings. So he showed up and he started training immediately. He just worked and worked and worked at it, but he loved it because he was outdoors. And that was the thing that just got him more than anything else. And then he said, you know, one day, I mean, there he was, his belly was gone, his legs were strong, and he was leading the advanced hikes. He went up and down, you know, these mountainsides like a billy goat. And then one day he got a call from his sister. Hey, you need to check in with a cardiologist. And he said, what are you talking about? I'm having the time of my life doing what I'm doing. He said, no, you need to check in with a cardiologist. And he said, but why? He said, because, you know, I just had an issue. I had like a little funky feeling, and they went ahead and they did a full workup and they found out I have serious blockages and that we have a family history of this, and I'm going to need surgery and you probably will too. He said, that's crazy. Said, I feel perfectly fine. I'm going up and down. She said, no, please, just for me, would you just do me a favor? So he did. He went to the cardiologist and he said, blah, blah, you know, told the whole story. And the cardiologist decided just, you know, go ahead and just do an angiogram and make sure everything's okay up there, because they saw a couple squirrely things on his EKG. And sure to form, here he was. Now, you're awake during the angiogram. There were the cardiologists and there was a team in there. And they all looked up at the screen and there was dead silence. And of course, you know, this guy said, hello, is everything okay? And his main cardiologist said, I have never seen anything like this in my life. And he said, this is unbelievable. And they were calling more people into the room to look. He says, you mind cluing me in since it's my flipping heart? And they said, yeah, let's clue you in. All right. So they did that when he was finally untethered from everything. And what it showed was an almost complete block of his main arteries. He really should be dead, or at least would have had a major heart attack and maybe survived. What saved him was his fitness. What he ended up doing was, and this is the extraordinary genius of nature, of our body, his heart built up all kinds of little side streets when the main freeway was all blocked. And so these were all detours. And there were so many of them because he was so fit, it looked like an incredible thick spider web. And all of these side streets were keeping him alive. They're called arterioles and capillaries. Literally kept him alive as he was scampering up and down mountains. I just sat there on the rock and stared at him and saying, oh my God. And of course, he had a coronary bypass. He had all four vessels done. And because he was so fit, he was up and back on the mountain easily within 8 weeks. He just couldn't wait to get back because he was so fit. And he just looked at me and he said, if anyone ever doubts that fitness can save your life, well, y'all just have them talk to me. And after that, I had an incredible time with him. He became my major guide as we eventually did all of our retreats up there. I just never forgot that story. And when I think of the heart, you know what I say? Rock on with your bad self, heart, for being able to save this incredible man's life. Cool story. Let's go to the brain. All right. Do you realize the brain is pain-free? It's pain-free. There are no pain receptors. It cannot feel pain at all. That's kind of a wild thing. Next cocktail party, tell someone that. They'll look at you strangely. I know. Now, here's what's really wild. You think, you know how you always see that little cartoon with a electric bulb above the head, like you're having a really interesting thought? Well, turns out it's a little more true than we thought. Your brain generates 12 to 25 watts of electricity. Now, that's enough to power a low wattage light bulb. That's pretty wild. The more I thought about that. Now I think of that light bulb above the head, and this is all I think about. 12 to 25 watts of electricity is coming out of there. Now, your brain weighs about 3 pounds, and it's 60% fat, making it the fattest organ. Okay, are you with me on this one? I got a fat head, and there you have it. Now, what am I doing for my brain? It couldn't be fitness again, could it? Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, it could be. All right. So what's wonderful is all the experiments that have been done showing that the more fit you are, the more you get up and kind of, you know, assume the vertical and keep moving, the more brain cells, we call them neurons, are generated, and that's throughout the entire brain. And so what we find is that the fittest people oftentimes have the largest hippocampus. Now, the hippocampus, what's that? Memory. Like, hello, you remember me? Dr. Peak. So I want a bigger brain. How about you? You know, count me in. I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to go out there and, you know, walk my dog, even if I don't have one. No, but I do, my beloved German Shepherd. But walk your dog, even if you don't have one, and you're going to grow a bigger brain. And it's actually true. Absolutely, hands down, no question about it. So I thought that's cool. What's interesting here is that whenever you go out, especially in an outdoor environment, your brain loves it. So you're all stressed out, funky things are going on in your life. And then what happens? You go out, you say, I'm going to take a walk, I'm getting out of here. And you take a walk, hopefully in a green place, you know, in nature. And we actually have a whole science behind this. It's called ecopsychology. And what it means is that your stress hormone, which of course is necessary for life, your stress hormone is no longer way up there on the ceiling. It's calming down. And what you're doing is you're spending time literally absorbing, again, the genius of nature. And it's very, very soothing. And when you do that, you know, whenever you're stressed out, it's a pro-inflammatory state that you're holding on to. You don't want that. You want an anti-inflammatory state. Don't want inflammation. It's the basis of all disease. So here's where you can just sort of calm it all down. Now, the brain also, and this is, let's talk about me here for a second. I love to learn new things. I don't care how old you are. The brain says, bring it on, girlfriend, right? Bring it on. So learn a new language. Keep reading. Test yourself with all kinds of new material. Just keep learning all the way until, well, till the very end. And what's important here is as you do that, you keep refreshing all of those brain cells. Ooh, how else do you refresh it? It's called sleep. You remember that? So sleep is so important. Now, here I'm wearing my little Aura ring, and the Aura ring I love. I have nothing to do with the company, but other than saying how cool they are. So the Aura ring, you know, keeps me right on top of my sleep. So it's a great piece of technology. I don't like wearing things on my wrists. It takes up very small real estate on my index finger. And what it does is it keeps me honest about my sleep. How much REM sleep do I get? How much deep sleep do I get? What's my heart rate variability, which shows the flexibility of my heart in its ability to handle stress, for instance, no matter what kind of stress. So how cool is that? But sleep is absolutely paramount to optimal cognitive performance. So I absolutely hold sleep in extremely high regard. And you know how it is, if you haven't had enough sleep, the worst, because if you don't, you do stupid things like eat everything that's not tacked down when you get up in the morning, because your appetite and hunger hormones have gone haywire with no sleep. There's like a whole domino effect here. So with the brain, I really try to stay right on top of that as best I can. I can't tell you how many more other things I do. I stay actively involved, engaged, connected to other people. All of these things feed into the network in your brain. And it is, you know, what's really cool about the brain, a feminine brain, right? A woman's brain. So turns out we have more interconnections between the two hemispheres. So that means they're talking to each other a lot more. It's another reason why if a woman has a stroke, her language and her ability to speak again comes back 10 times faster than a man. Fascinating stuff. A little more cocktail chatter. But important for you to be kind to your brain. Oh my goodness gracious. Your liver is the next up, and it's got a remarkable ability to fully regenerate itself. 25% of your liver is all you need to regrow the entire organ. I mean, is that, again, the genius of nature, our ability to be able to do that? It's like the body is so forgiving for all the little sins that we commit. So there's that. It's also a multitasker. Hey, we're women. We're multitaskers. We're proud of it. All right. So it performs over, get this, 500 functions, including detox and bile production. Girls, when you drink way too much alcohol, you know I have done podcasts on this. I'm not wagging my finger. It's right down here. I'm hiding it. All right. But when you do that, you basically, you know, it's like pretty toxic to the liver because it's got to clear it. And it's very difficult in certain circumstances. So please be kind to the liver. If you're going to have alcohol, sip it. Sip it. And if you're an older woman, a woman who, say, is 60 and over, read the new literature. And I've gone through this before as well, that shows the relationship between alcohol and dementia, especially as you age. Just it becomes more and more infrequent. I'm all for the celebratory whatever, but you know, when women are downing half a bottle or a bottle every single night, no, that yeah, the liver is screaming. You hear that screaming? Your liver, guaranteed. All right, let's go on to the kidneys. They filter. When you think of kidneys, you think of filtering, okay? So it filters about 180 liters of blood every single day. And each of those kidneys, each of them, contains about 1 million tiny filtering units. Those are the little cells, you know, those kidney cells called nephrons. And a person can live a completely normal life with just one functioning kidney. So I'm here to share. I know more about my kidneys than I ever cared to know. Why? Because, believe it or not, I had an interesting consequence due to fitness. I got dry. I got dehydrated. I kind of think maybe I'm the direct descendant of camels or something. You know, I've always had to remind myself to drink, drink, drink. And during my early days in triathlon, when I'm out there in the sun and I'm like biking for miles and I'm also running, and apparently I was not hydrated enough and I never knew. I found out the hard way. It's called a kidney stone. That's correct, the mundo. So, but I had a fabulous urologist at the Mayo Clinic who made it very clear to me it was just dehydration. So guess what I keep near me at all times? That's right, a very tall canister of my wonderful, wonderful water or something watery that refreshes me. I have never, ever had such respect for hydration than that. So be kind to your kidneys no matter what you do. And then you got the lungs. Oh, take a deep breath. Okay, so when we're taking those deep cleansing breaths, you know, you're getting that what we call a tidal volume. You know, your entire lungs fill up with air. I've actually had my tidal volume measured and it was way above normal, which is great, which means that all my years of fitness have really had my lungs adapt and adjust to the fact that I would need to breathe a lot of air and really take deep breaths with all my training. And so that's cool stuff. It's interesting. I'd never knew this, but a person takes over 20,000 breaths a day. So what are you actually breathing? If any of you are still smoking or in the presence of a smoker, okay, you know, I'm telling you, smoking is deadly for a woman. Deadly. It's women who pick up chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you know, like 10 to 1 over men. We just have delicate tissue there, and it doesn't do well. It doesn't do well. So it's so, so terribly important for you to honor those beautiful lungs of yours. How about, she's not talking about going outdoors and into nature again, is she? She's going back to that again. Yes, she is. Get out. Smell some fresh air, for crying out loud. And it's really, really, really important for you to be able to say to yourself, the lungs have a surface area that's roughly the same as a tennis court. you have all those cells, those gazillion cells called alveoli, that are working very, very much to be able to help grab that oxygen and make certain it gets transferred all through the body. You need to remember, where are you? When I see people, especially young ones, vaping and, it just breaks my heart because I'm just saying to myself, no, please don't do that. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. All right. Now, when we return, I'm going to continue this organ recital. And we're back. All right. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we have all kinds of other things to learn about the body. For instance, one of the things that is cool is to look at why the brain is considered the supreme organ of the human body. Well, we kind of went through a little bit of that. Let's dive a little bit deeper because I love this so much, right? So it manages everything. It's a command central. So all movement, actions, bodily processes, it also at the same time helps you with your circadian rhythm. And that's because when light hits your eyes, communicates with the brain, and it begins to tell you that there's a whole new cycle that's going to start first thing in the morning when you pop out of bed, right? Bright and early. Well, anyway, when you pop out of bed. And why is this so important? Because one of the things I've argued about for so terribly long is, why don't we live a little bit more like cave women, right? Why do I say that? Well, because our entire body is really geared, all of our genetics and everything, is really geared to the 24-hour circadian rhythm. Meaning that when you get up in the morning, you know what gets you up in the morning? Ho ho, here it comes. And it's the brain. So the brain is squirting out some of this wonderful precursors to stress hormone as well as adrenaline. They're both, you know, cortisol and adrenaline. They're like besties, little BFF action going on. And they're always together. They give you that alertness like, whoa, I'm awake now. There you go. And then off you go. And in the morning, you say to yourself, and this is going to include all these vital organ systems now, as I'm taking care of the body, showing R-E-S-P-E-C-T, is that in the morning, your insulin functioning is most optimal. So if you're going to have, you know, some carbohydrate in the morning, you know, say your whole grain cereal, if you're interested in that, or whatever, however it works, fruit, you know, on and on. It's great to have it in the morning all the way up until no later than mid-afternoon. But the optimal time is before noon. And then it starts to become the insulin sensitivity and function becomes a little less sensitive. And then after 3 o'clock or so, it's not as effective at all. And of course, that's when people are eating Mount Saint pasta and, you know, whatever for dinner. The worst thing you could do, and you wonder, like, why did I just gain 5 pounds? No mystery here. You're not hanging in with your circadian rhythm. All right. So listen to your body. And the body is geared to be able to handle a meal in midday, say around 1, 2, or even noon if you wanted to. But as the day goes on, and if you really want to know a great body hack, you eat much less for dinner in terms of heavy stuff. But you could have a monster salad with some great protein associated with it. Fish, chicken, you know, red meat, totally vegetarian, vegan, whatever turns you on. That's all good. That works like a charm. Okay. But the key is try to upload in the earlier part of the day, the breakfast hours, the early afternoon hours, when you're going to have your other meals and the larger meals, because your body can handle it. Nothing makes me crazier than watching women eat like a monster dinner, because I know exactly where it's going to end up. I'm just giving you that. So the brain is command central for so much of this. The brain really holds the master clocks to be able to control circadian rhythm, yet every single cell in the body has its own circadian clock. And so they all have to work in harmony. And when we do things like eat at 10 o'clock at night or have a monster meal later on, or we're not getting enough sleep, I mean, the circadian rhythm just goes to hell. I mean, it doesn't work. And then don't count on yourself to be able to have an optimal metabolic metabolism, basically. You won't have it. You can't, because your body is dysfunctional at that point. Now, here's the great news. Remember the genius of nature in our body? The body is highly forgiving. So just get back on track, you know, as fast as you can. And by the way, for all of you beautiful, beautiful women out there who are saying to yourself, it's too late. No, it's never too late. Never, 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 never. You know, I've lived long enough. I have, you know, been a physician for many decades now. And I can tell you that I have seen absolute turnarounds at the age of 50, 60, 70, and 80. I mean, just stuff that would just blow your mind. You say, no, there's like no way. Nah, way. So does it make it a little bit harder as you get older? Of course. I mean, wipe the shock off your face. So lay down the framework right now for all of this. So terribly important. You know, the brain also is all about consciousness and thought. You know, it's the seat of memory, like I said, emotion, intellect, defining human identity. I also want to give a shout out here. And the shout out here is for so many of us, yours truly included, who've had trauma in our lives. However you define trauma, some people define trauma as, you know, my parents divorced when I was 3. I mean, how could you even remember? But the consequences thereof, right? Other people had other kinds of trauma. I mean, there's just a huge range. So what's important here is that when this kind of thing occurs, when you're a child or an adolescent, those are formative years for the brain and brain development. And you may have a little bit of scarring there. Genetic scarring is what we call it, from what happened. But here's the great news, genius of nature moment. That is, if you are able to work with what happened, maybe get therapy, just work on it, no matter what it was, stop the self-destructive habits that oftentimes pop out when you've had trauma, then you're able to skirt around that scarring and you're able to move forward in life. And the reason why I bring this up is because it affects memory, emotion, and intellect. It affects all of that. So you got to, at some point, address it. You can't run away from it, no matter what. And getting help from a trauma-based therapist is oftentimes exquisitely helpful. And I bring this up because nobody else brings it up. It's amazing. I look at it as like a vital sign. And it was found by accident when one of my colleagues, Dr. Felitti with the Kaiser Group, just decided on a huge survey of thousands of the Kaiser members, hey, did you ever have trauma in your life? He just decided to ask it, only to find out one in three did. And it just floored him. And that gave birth to the Adverse Childhood Experience Quiz, ACE. And you can Google that and take the quiz yourself. Because it's important to know the effect of these experiences on your life during formative years. And therefore, people who've had trauma oftentimes can be impatient and irritable and impulsive. I call them the three I's. These are the three I's that are usually controlled by the prefrontal cortex, or the CEO of the brain, right behind your forehead. And many times it is impacted by trauma and it causes a little problem with the development, the full development of the abilities of that prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex, we thought for a long time, finished developing by the age of 25. Nope, it turns out recent research shows by the age of 30. So it takes a long time for this exquisitely important part of the brain to develop. So much impacts this. Sleep impacts it. Stress impacts it. Trauma impacts it. That's why it's really important to sit down, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, your brain. Respect your brain and respect all of the experiences you've had in your life. And this is where, oh my gosh, I'm such an advocate of prayer and meditation. Both together, in combination, I don't care, whatever turns you on. But just calm down. Get centered. Mindfulness, transcendental meditation, prayer from whatever religion is absolutely integral to the healing process. There's that genius of nature, because the answer is you will heal. You absolutely, hands down, will heal. So the brain, oh my gosh, so important. And then the brain has a really high energy demand too. Despite its weight, you know, it's 3 pounds, remember I told you? The brain consumes a significant portion of the body's daily energy to maintain constant functionality. Now, the brain loves to function on glucose. It can also function on fat. Having a really good balance of both is great. This is why I beg you, please, I know you. You know, when you say, oh, I'm just going to starve myself a little bit and I'm going to drop some weight and feel so good. Yeah, hello, brain. It needs energy, right? It needs energy and a nice balance of carbohydrate, clean, beautiful carbohydrate. How about that orange? How about those blueberries? How about those, right? So you need clean, wonderful carbohydrate, also from vegetables, which is a beautiful source in a big way. And then from healthy fats. What about that virgin olive oil, the avocado oil? There's so many wonderful things you could do out there. You get fat from an avocado itself. There's just wonderful, healthy, clean, nurturing, nourishing ways to be able to keep that brain going. We've all felt the wonkiness when we haven't eaten for quite some time. It's like, oh my gosh. And then look at our mood. We get hangry and it just gets weird. Don't. Whatever you do, please be as prepared as humanly possible to bring it all together. So what we've been doing right now is bringing so much of this new knowledge that we have about our phenomenal body, our beautiful body. I went through this little litany without even going through so many of the other systems. I just stuck to the vital organs. Those are the ones you got to keep optimized. But, you know, we could spend another hour talking about the gut, you know, all those friends with benefits in the microbiome. And it turns out, teaser alert for an upcoming podcast, the microbiome turns out to be its own command central because it communicates directly with the brain. That's where all your serotonin comes from, speaking of mood modulation, right? And at the same time, it communicates with your immune system. So your microbiome are those critters, the beautiful bacteria and the viruses and the wonderful little inhabitants, all trillion of them in your microbiome throughout your gut. So whenever I eat, you know what I do as a joke, I just look down at my little tummy and I say, hey, what do you want to eat? What's up with you guys? And then I say, I know what you need. You need some prebiotics, some wonderful fermented foods and good stuff. You know, how about this yogurt? You like it? Okay. Make friends with your microbiome, all those friends with benefits. And at the same time, every time you eat something that's trash, you cause leakage from your gut. And when you do that, there goes that pro-inflammatory state, which we don't want. We don't want gut leak. So what we want is a very happy microbiome. And all it takes is for you to remember, don't cheat the body. What you want to do is respect it instead. All of it, the vital organs and the other tissues throughout the body, it's so terribly important to do this every single day that you can. So I hope I've raised your awareness. I've shared a few stories and at the same time given you hope that no matter where you are on your journey right now, you could turn it around on a dime. Boom, just like that. It just takes R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect your body. All right. Now that we've done this, oh, I just love this. I'm just filled with gratitude. And you know, one of the pieces of gratitude I want to give a shout out to was my former co-host and former founder of the entire Her podcast, and that's Michelle Wirth. Michelle is just one of my total besties in life. I just can't begin to express enough gratitude for our beautiful friendship and what we have grown this podcast into. So major shout out there. And speaking of shout outs, I want to thank my sponsor, which is Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, rooted in what? Nature. She's back to that again. And the new Her Life Stages products. I want you to scope them all out at Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y.com. And those Her Life Stages products are incredibly important. These are products that are natural that will help you through all of your hormonal milestones, all the way from menstruation and then take you right through perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. In addition, a little extra in there for your libido too. Yeah, we love that. Now, take a moment to leave us a review because we love to hear from you. Oh my gosh, that rhymes. Oh no, no, no. I can't be a poet too. And I just want to let everyone know how grateful I am out there. You guys in the podcast health land, the entire team. And remember, for all of you, you know that your time in this entire world is super limited. Reality blast. But all the things you could do in that time are not. So please, go on out there, seize the day, and respect your body. Thanks for listening.